If you are a new listener of It's Super Effective, or you're just coming to this episode because of the interview we did with Jake, the voice actor of Professor Sycamore in the anime, and you want to jump right to that, go ahead and jump to the 25-minute mark in the episode. If you care to listen to the entire episode, if you're a new listener, then please do so. We talk about pizza at the beginning for some odd reason, and it's standard for our episodes to get off topic right off the bat. So, we do talk about Pokemon eventually. It's just usually the first 5 to 10 minutes. It's off-topic stuff, and that's normal. Otherwise, enjoy this episode of It's Super Effective. Thanks. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 186th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's Super Effective. I never usually say it like that. That's weird. My name is SBJ, and with me today, I have Will.
Oh, I'm a little nauseous. Time travel does that to me.
All right.
Going back and forth in time, it makes my stomach a little queasy.
We're going to move right on to Travis is here with us today.
So when you told me that we were going to record, I was totally down, but then I realized that when you said 3 year time, that meant 4 my time, which means around 5-ish, which is when I usually eat food, I'll still be doing this nonsense. And so, like, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes ago, I was about to order pizza, and then I remembered that we were supposed to be doing this thing. And I was on the button about to click the order and saw estimated delivery at 4:30, which is going to be smack dab in the middle of this. And I made the sacrifice. I did not order the pizza. I did consider, however, whether or not it would be funny if you heard my doorbell ring and heard me go out and pay for the pizza. I calculated how funny that experience would be into whether or not I would sort of ruin the flow halfway through the show. I made the decision that it wasn't worth it, and that I'm just going to suffer for the two of you. So some thanks are in order.
Made even worse by the fact that just a few minutes ago, I was shoving chicken tenders down my throat and making you listen to me eat them.
And it's times like these where I wish you could email food.
Would you like a chicken tender?
I would love a chicken tender. Please good. Send it as an attachment.
Oh, chicken
Dropbox
tender.
Dropbox it to
food.
Me.
Mm.
Before we get into the wormhole of the show here.
Sorry?
I don't even know what that means.
Let's back
yeah,
up a second.
We're going to stop you there.
What pizza place were you ordering from?
That's the important question.
Does Jet's Pizza exist anywhere
yes.
other than Michigan?
Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
Back in my small, tiny apartment that I believe you both have been in, there was a Jet's Pizza
yep.
fairly close, and I am now out of the delivery distance of Jet's.
No,
it's
it was
good.
Gilly's.
No, well, Gilly's was across the street. But...
Gilly's.
Oh, Gilly's.
Gilly's.
Jet's Pizza is real good.
Yeah.
If I had to hear one more time about how the person in front of you in line won the prize for being like the 100th customer of the day and you didn't win it, I was going to just drive out there and be angry.
But you know what? You know what? The fact that he was the 101st customer, you know, 101, what does that remind you of? School, education.
Dalmatians.
That was a learning experience.
Dalmatians. Yeah. Okay, so now that we got that out of the way, Jets is good pizza, by the way. Jets Pizza, if you would like to sponsor Pokemon Pie.
This episode of the Pokemon Pie is brought to you by Jets Pizza. We take a pizza and we make it, we take 4 corners, but we actually make it 8 because everyone wants a corner piece. For some reason, that's what everyone's all about. So that's what we do. Every square has 8 corners.
If you like bread, tomatoes, and cheese, call us. Jet's Pizza.
I do like the corner piece because I love the bread part of pizza.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
How is there a corner piece on a pizza? Pizzas are circles.
Because Jets build, they bake them in like a square.
Builds.
They build them.
Jets codes their pizzas so that the front end.
Are they selling Sicilian style?
It's a square style, man.
Yeah, it's.
Sicilian style is typically square.
It's the Scion XB of pizzas.
Oh.
It's a. I wouldn't call it a. Deep dish pizza because that evokes like Chicago style where the majority of it is the sauce and cheese. This is deep dish and more like a pan pizza in the sense that the majority of the large volume of the pizza is comprised of the actual the crust.
Yeah, that's Sicilian style.
And I think it tends to be like, I think Jets and other places, I think it's also a big deal in Detroit, that style of pizza, so... That's why
probably lots of Sicilians.
Michigan. There we go, pizza talk. Only here.
Ooh, pizza talk.
Pizza talk. So we got a pretty exciting show for you guys. Will and I interviewed the voice of Professor Sycamore, which is very exciting. He is an awesome dude. His name is Jake Paik, and that will be in the middle segment of the show. So we might not have. The most uniform show here. We did record that yesterday, and so if transitions from segment to segment sound awkward, it's because we are recording everything out of order, but that's okay. Hopefully the show will sound good. Before we get into that interview, we got some Pokemon news to talk about, and not a lot of Pokemon news because we are in the season of not giving us news. The first bit of news is a little boring, but the complete image and translation set for Blue Shock and Red Flash is available. The only thing worth noting here from this bit of news, if you follow the TCG, is there are 10 different Mewtwo EX cards. Two of them are ultra rare Mewtwo EX cards. So if you love Mewtwo.
EX.
EX. Cards.
Wait, are they different attacks and stuff? Or are they just different art and it's all the same attack?
I believe... Combo. I cannot confirm, but I believe some of them are full art, so that does count as a different card. That makes sense.
I mean, that doesn't really answer my question, but all right.
So if it counts as full art, it is the same card, except the art is different. So
I think so. Are there five different cards with five different attacks, and then they're both regular and full art? Is that what you're giving me?
All right, I'm looking at some Mewtwo's. I'm seeing six different Mewtwo cards here at the bottom.
And are their attacks identical?
All their attacks are different.
All right, that answers my question.
So I'm seeing six different Mewtwo cards with six different attacks.
Oh, gosh.
I believe two of the six here that I'm looking at, which are probably the ultra rare ones, because they have Vanishing Strike, which is spelled wrong, by the way. That is also part of the news. And Psychic Infinity. Like, they have that text across. Vanishing Strike is missing the H, so it's V-A-N-I-S-I-N-G.
Huh. Vanishing.
Vanishing Strike. And so I believe those are the ultra rare. It looks like the Vanishing Strike one is Mewtwo X, and the Psychic Infinity one is Mewtwo Y, and yeah. And those look like break cards, because they're still Mewtwo EX, but they have different moves, and they break. No, never mind. They do evolve from Mewtwo. Never mind. Disregard. This is what happens when I stopped playing the TCG. I just
so
falls out of my mind.
Which one's the good Mewtwo?
That's the one that can do. I can't even remember what the move is called for two double colorless.
That one, X-Ball.
X-Ball. Yeah, that's the only one.
I can't wait till the point where all of the competitive decks run one Mewtwo or another. Yeah, I'm running Mewtwo. Mewtwo. Oh, you're. Man, that's so last meta. Like, you gotta run Mewtwo, Lapras, Mewtwo. But which Mewtwo? You gotta know. You gotta be, you know.
Yeah, Mewtwo EX has Blast Ball, which is similar to that previous one. And then Mega Mewtwo EX has Psychic Infinity.
Vanishing Strike. There are, speaking of Mewtwo, there are two new Pokemon 3DS themes now available in Japan. The first theme is Pokemon 151 Mewtwo. It is based off the clothing line of Pokemon 151, which that theme features Mewtwo. I believe that, for our listeners, that clothing line is only available in Japan. The background music is Tower of Mastery from Pokemon X and Y. That theme will cost 200 yen, which I believe is 199 here once it does come out. The second theme is Pokemon Mega Mewtwo and Break Evolutions featuring Mega Mewtwo X and Mega Mewtwo Y, as well as Zoroark Break from Blue Shock. The background music is Battle, parentheses Mewtwo, from Pokemon X and Y, and will also cost 200 yen.
I'll buy them.
Don't you get all the themes?
Yeah, all the Pokemon themes. And they need to increase the number of slots for the shuffler.
How many did they got? Like six? Five?
It's like 10.
Oh, okay.
But still not enough for all the Pokemon themes.
They need to do like a theme bundle where I can get multiple themes at a discount, because I hate buying them at $1.99. That's just me.
They'll probably release that at a discount of 0%.
Yeah.
You can get them all in one place for the reduced price of exactly the price it would take to buy all of them separately.
We just made it easier to take more of your money faster.
Yeah.
Do you guys love Mewtwo?
Eh. I do like Mewtwo.
All right, because I got more Mewtwo news coming.
I like Mew more than Mewtwo.
Well, then you're going to love this news, Will. Pokemon, the first movie, is to air in cinemas in Australia and New Zealand.
What?
Again.
What?
Why?
Hold on to your,
why
on
am
to
I
your
loving this news? I'm neither in Australia nor in New Zealand.
Pokemon, the first movie, Mewtwo Strikes Back, even though technically that was his first strike that we saw.
Well, actually, Mewtwo appeared briefly in the anime, in the armor thing, but we didn't really know, and Gary was there.
And actually, striking back implies that the other person has struck you first, and now you are striking back at them. It's not your second strike.
I see.
So the first strike was the evil scientist creating him in the first place.
Really running my joke into the ground.
And actually, if you watch the original extended version that isn't the awful cut theatrical version that cuts out all the character work of Mewtwo, the title just it makes much more beautiful sense.
It's actually true, though. And the movie's so much better if you have the extended version.
Of the first
movie?
There
was an extended version.
Yeah, there's a whole thing where Mewtwo, like, makes a pal with, I think it's the scientist's daughter, if I remember correctly. The cold open of the movie is a lot longer. Mewtwo makes, like, a friend.
Wait a second. Cold open. That sounds like movie jargon.
It is. So cold open means either in a TV show or a movie, a sequence that appears before the title card. So before it says, Pokemon, the first movie, Mewtwo Strikes Back, before that appears on the screen, anything before that is considered a cold open, because you're opening to the movie without being warmed up by the movie telling you what the title of the movie is.
All right.
So like in TV shows where you'll have like a brief scene and then it'll end with perfect example. And what show is it where it has the Who and the guy and the guy puts on sunglasses and then
X-Files?
Yeah, the X-Files. Exactly.
Miami Vice.
The
Archer
Won't Get Fooled Again is the theme song. It's like CSI or something, right?
Hawaii 5-0. No, I know what you're talking. It is like. Yeah. Like CSI, yes.
Archer definitely does that too.
Yeah, so like that would be an example of a cold open, a scene that occurs before either the theme in a TV show or the title card in a movie.
But anyways, back to what's important. You're saying that much like Blade Runner, there are seven different versions of the original Pokemon movie, and you can never tell which one you're watching.
The final cut is far superior.
No, I prefer the director's cut. Thank you.
Oh, really? We'll talk about that later. But yeah, there are two cuts of the Pokemon, the first movie. The extended version, I believe, aired in Japan in theaters. I don't remember what the reasoning was for cutting that bit in the States. Maybe because we already had enough
These American kids aren't disciplined like those Japanese kids. They can't sit in the movie theater seat for that long. We gotta cut this movie down.
I'm guessing they had to make the choice between cutting Pikachu's vacation short, which I really love, by the way, or cutting the part of the cold open to the feature presentation for time's sake. I mean, that's just speculation on my part.
So it looks like these cinemas are called Hoyts.
Hoyts, yeah, that's a movie theater chain. I think we have them here in America, too.
Okay. There's none in Wisconsin, at least, that I know of. So yes. That's going to be in...
And Steve has never been anywhere other than Wisconsin.
That's obviously.
I don't even leave my house. Those are in Australia and New Zealand starting October 8th. Session times will be posted on Hoyt's website in the future. The movie was originally released in Australian cinemas in 1999. On December 2nd, 2015, this movie will be released on Blu-ray and re-released on DVD in Australia and New Zealand. While the movie is only itself advertised, the movie has a specified runtime of 96 minutes. That is the exact runtime of the original movie plus Pikachu's Vacation. So it looks like we are getting the original airing.
Why are they
cold open?
Why are they doing this? Why now? And why specifically Australia and New Zealand? That's
because
weird.
The TCG, Travis, has 10 different Mewtwo cards.
Do they only exist in New Zealand and Australia?
Pokemon Zemerald will be set in Australia and New Zealand, and they've really psyched us out.
I don't know. Whoa,
did they? Oh, that'll be like, what was it? Wasn't there something like that tipped us off that X and Y was going to be in France?
It was because he was taking Masuda was taking a lot of pictures in France.
Oh yeah, yeah. This is like that, but in Australia.
I don't know. Well, this kind of just shockingly enough, my news has been leading into each other this episode, which already tells you how great the episode is going to be. So, Pokemon Symphonic Evolutions are making a debut in Europe on December 20th. But here is the upcoming dates for that, and they will be in Australia a month after the movies start to air again. So I don't know, maybe just Pokemon is just doing a more focus in Australia/New Zealand.
But like,
I mean, if you already got the momentum running with the movies and then the symphony, maybe they're getting their own Pokemon Center. I don't know.
But I don't question their strategy. I at this point, I think the Pokemon Company, Game Freak at all, Nintendo, I think they know how to make money. That's something I'm questioning. But I'm questioning what that marketing discussion was.
I mean, it could be coming to the United States. The theaters just could be behind New Zealand and Australia, just right on the same page here.
That's true.
Or maybe they know something about the Australian economy that we haven't realized yet. Like they're about to strike oil, or there's going to be world cataclysmic change, and the only place where people will be able to survive is Australia, so they might as well get into that market hardcore now.
I figured it out. Wallabies are becoming self-aware.
Sentient.
They really want to go see Pokemon the first movie, because they missed it the first time around.
That's true.
That's sentient very... koalas. So huggably murderous.
If you're a listener in Nashville, Tennessee, Pokemon Symphonic Evolutions is coming on October 9th, followed by traveling all the way to Mexico, not New Mexico, but the original vintage Mexico.
OG Mexico.
OG. So that's going to be October 21st, October 23rd, and October 25th. In a bunch of places, I can't say, but October 23rd is Mexico City.
Nice.
There we go.
Is Guadalajara in there?
Yes, that is the first one. And the last one is, I'm going to butcher this, Monterrey, Nuevo León.
What? I can't tell from the sounds that you're saying what city that could
How
possibly...
is it spelled?
Monterrey, Monterrey. Nuevo, which is new, I believe, in Spanish.
Nuevo.
And then Leon, L-E-O-N, but the O has a thingy on top of it.
Yeah, Monterrey Nuevo León.
That's what I said.
Ugh, not really. You had something else. You were like Vivian in there.
Vivian?
Butterfly Pokemon.
What else we got here? We got Australia following with four dates, November 13th, 15th, 17th, and back-to-back at the Sydney Opera House on November 20th and 21st. And that's going to be Victoria, Western Australia, South Australia, and New South Wales, Australia. So if you are an Australian listener, you probably know where those are. And then they're coming back to the United States on December 3rd and December 4th at Clearwater, Florida, and then Orlando, Florida. Going all the way to the United Kingdom on December 20th in London, England at the Eventim Apollo Hammersmith.
That's is a that a superhero?
Name. That is quite the theater name. And then coming
oh,
back
man,
to...
Oh, man, that pizza would have came by like right now.
Oh, ding dong. It's Jeff's pizza.
Coming back to the United States here what on January 2nd, January 24th, and February 5th. Fort Worth, Texas, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and February 5th in Travis's own Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Wait, what? Say what? Really?
Yeah.
Hardcore Grand Rapids life.
That's cool, so we'll have to connect on that, Travis.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a buzzword right there, connect.
We'll have some synergistic connections regarding the composition of our core core values.
Would you go to Grand Rapids to see it, Steve?
I am willing to go to Grand Rapids, definitely to see it and or Travis.
But you wouldn't come to Washington, D.C. to watch it with me.
That is true. I could drive my car to a ferry, though, and put my car onto the ferry.
For less money, you could get in a plane in Chicago and
that's
fly
probably,
to Washington.
That's probably very true.
My best friend actually works for the ferry, so you could, like... get like a preamble to the visit.
So I could, you're saying I could sneak my car onto the ferry and no one would know.
He works at the port in Muskegon, so that wouldn't work.
That's a bummer. Anyways, either way, I'll make sure that Travis can go so we can get a report on that.
Yeah.
Get that Pokemon Symphonic Evolutions report. And that is pretty much all we have for news for you guys today. Not groundbreaking news, but news nonetheless. Also, I heard a rumor that Pokemon Go is coming out in October of 2016, but I could not find any trustworthy articles to verify that.
I thought the hit said early 2016, and that certainly is not early.
Nope, that's what I heard too, and then when I read that article like a week ago, I was like, oh, I should talk about that. Now I can't find that article, so I don't know how accurate that was.
Removed from the
internet. You probably just had a dream about it.
That's probably more likely. So what we're going to do here is we're going to take a break, and then Travis is going to disappear. We're going to have an interview
Travis
with...
Travis is unable to travel back in time with us.
The funny thing about this is that when you set this all up, you just assumed, oh, Travis is going to be busy. So here's the thing. You were right, but I still resent the fact that you made that assumption.
Well,
ask me. You were right. I mean, you were right. So I have no grounds
that,
to
that's true.
Negotiate.
So when I think of an interview section, I don't usually prefer to have four people in a recording.
So you just went with the better one of us.
And so I knew that
you
Will,
said it, not me.
So I knew that Will was not only one, an anime watcher.
That's
but
true.
Two, Professor Sycamore lover.
I mean, I'm a fan of Professor Sycamore. It's
who isn't,
true.
To be honest?
That's true. Those are very good points. I haven't seen the anime in a very long time.
So we're going to have our interview with Jake, who is the voice of Professor Sycamore, who is currently still on TV. If for any reason you don't watch the anime, yes, they are still running episodes with Professor Sycamore and Ash and Pikachu, as always. And so we're going to cut to that, and hopefully you guys enjoy that. And if you did enjoy it, please let us know that if you want more of that, please email us, sbj@pkmncast.com. We still have a ton of email questions to answer. Do not worry, we'll get to them. We're just not doing them this episode because of this interview. And it's about a 30-minute interview. So after the break, after that interview is over, we're going to come back and do Pokemon of the Week and then wrap up today's show. So we will be right back. All right, we are back from our break. We have our surprise guest. We probably actually spoiled it earlier. We're recording this backwards, so my apologies. I am here with Will, and I are here with Jake Pake.
Hey there.
Because it rhymes with cake, right?
That's correct. You nailed it. It is rhyming, for sure.
Awesome. How are you, Jake?
I'm great. Thrilled to be on, SBJ. Seriously, I'm stoked. STOKED.
That's awesome. So our listeners probably know you best as a voice actor in the Pokemon anime series. Do you want to kind of just explain that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. I play Professor Sycamore on Pokemon. You know, maybe some people prefer to know me as the voice of Weepin' Bell, but a lot of people do know me as Professor Sycamore, who's a pretty rad character. Those are two of my big recurring jobs on the show. I've dabbled in some other things as well on the show, but those are the big guys.
Cool. This segment's probably going to be a lot of just questions directed at you, because you're way more interesting than Will and I are.
Oh, come now. I've listened to some of the podcasts. You guys are riveting. Don't take that away from yourself.
I mean, if you're a huge Destiny fan, yeah.
That's right.
My apologies for not knowing how long X and Y has been running at this point, but were you voice acting for Pokemon before that, or was Sycamore your first go?
I think that Sycamore was my first role on the show, I'm pretty sure. At least the first that aired. I might have dabbled on a couple smaller things, but Sycamore is the first real role. And then a couple other things came after that. So I think I've been, it's been over like 2 years, I think, spread out over a whole bunch of episodes and things like that. But about that amount of time, I've been hanging with the good professor.
Yeah, so you were had a small part in the Genesect movie, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And did that come out before or after the X and Y cartoon? That's hard to keep track of.
And it can be hard too with recording, because you're never like, sometimes you might record something and something comes out way, like you might record it later, but it comes out way before, you know, so the timelines can get pretty mixed up. But I believe that came after the beginning of X and Y. So Professor Sycamore probably erupted onto the scene. And then later, Eric kind of mellowed his way into the waters.
Yeah, I saw that on your Bulbapedia profile of list of voice actors. You did both Eric and Professor Sycamore. I'm unfamiliar with who Eric is in the anime.
It's totally all right. I love Eric. He's like he's a park ranger at this monstrous Pokemon sanctuary in that movie. And I really like him because he's got a super like mellow California type vibe. It's just the first time I got to play a character like that, like a guy who really loves Pokemon in kind of a different way than Professor Sycamore. He's a lot less he's a more in the field type guy, whereas we obviously know Professor Sycamore is like a lab guy.
Yeah.
But Eric's like super mellow West Coast. He's like totally into plants and stuff. And I loved playing him. He should have a spinoff, right?
That's awesome. Yeah, there's a lot of characters in Pokemon that you only see them once or twice, especially in the movies. And that was the Genesect movie was the last movie that the States got. I think the Deance movie is coming this November.
Yeah, we do. There's you're talking about the most recent one?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. That's just about to drop. That's that. There's a lot of buzz about that, which I'm pretty sure I can't say anything about.
No, that's fair. That's fair. We try to keep our listeners up to date of what's coming out, and I believe that movie is this fall. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, there is. I think I can safely say there was a lot of work being done on that, and I think it's ready to get fired from the animation canon into the global sphere of enjoyment.
Cool. Let's rewind a little bit. How did you get the voice of Sycamore? Did you go to Pokemon?
How'd you get the gig, man?
What are the details?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'll give you the deets, the dirt. The studio that does Pokemon, I had been fortunate enough to be working on some shows at other studios with people that were on that show. And so it was kind of like a cross-pollination situation where some opportunities came up, and I I actually reached out to one of the directors there and was like, hey, like, because they, in this case, this director worked with me as a voice actor on other shows. So we heard each other's voices and passed in the studio all the time. But I'd never been on Pokemon, and I don't think I'd even been into the studio yet. So I just reached out to him and was like, hey, you've heard my voice in your headphones a lot. You know, like, you know, we've fought and we've yelled at each other as different characters. I'm like, but if you ever need anything, you know, and I'm sure I cracked a joke like, you know, if you ever need me to come in and be some character who dies right away or something. Not that that happens in Pokemon, but, you know, if it were for some other program. I was like, you know, let me know. I'll swing by and make some grunting noises or something. And I got brought in and I had an opportunity to read for this character who I, you know, I don't want to make it sound too magical or whatever, but it was kind of love at first sight. I was able to just connect with the character right away. I loved his demeanor and the way he interacted with people in Pokemon. And so I gave him a voice that I thought I knew because I felt like I knew the character, and I was fortunate enough to land the role.
Oh, yeah, and I'll definitely say that Sycamore is probably one of the most loved of the Pokemon professors, yeah. Even though he's, like, super new.
Yeah.
And probably your contribution of your voice acting, like, is a big contribution to that. That, you know, he seems so approachable and, like really involved with the other characters' lives. Not just as, like, an adult authority figure, but as somebody who actually interacts with them, like, very directly.
I agree. No, definitely. I agree 100%. I think some of the most important things to me were making sure that because by no means do I think that he's a person who is just providing information or ever, because we've all had teachers or mentors that kind of just told us things or said what to do. And I just think that Professor Sycamore is so much more involved in everything he does. Like, he truly has investment and compassion and, you know, love for the things that he's investing in. So I wanted to find, you know, do my best to bring that out in his relationships with the characters and Pokemon.
So I was going to ask, but you kind of hit on this. Did when they brought you in, were they like, put your own spin on Sycamore, or we want him to sound more like this or more like that? But it sounds like you just made your voice fit best for what you felt like he should have been.
Yeah, you know, it was probably a little bit of all of that. There may have been something they were looking for that they, you know, they said they probably wanted to hear both. They probably wanted to hear, like, what I brought to it naturally, and then, you know, maybe some adjustments to bring it along in a direction that they were thinking of. But in the end, you know, what we settled on is something that I think is very true and very, you know, there's not a single part of me that feels that there's any artifice in there, really. Yeah, so I think it's something that's very real for me and very true to the character and what they wanted.
So I have to know, were you ever asked to try the character with a French accent or French intonations?
You know, for the show, I was not. But I have been asked to do French dialects by, you know, people at conventions and things like that. They're like, you know, do you have one? And I have done French dialects for, like, I did a French dialect for Brothers in Arms, the last Brothers in Arms game I did. I played a French soldier and, you know, busted out a little bit of a French dialect. So, you know, I do my best to, like, give those people a few words, but you know, like, I'm not gonna say I'm super comfortable. It would take some work to be able to have a big role with a French dialect.
Yeah, I find it funny that in the Kalos region, it seems like some people have just a very straightforward American accent, and then you'll have these fringe characters which have really strong French accents.
For sure, because yeah, people ask me about that. They're like, "Do you think, you know, like, what is that?" And I felt like I connected with that as well, because one of my best friends is a fluent French speaker. So I ended up getting a whole bunch of just kind of random French words thrown into my, you know, vocabulary, like, you know, 10 years ago. And some of them just stick there. So when, you know, you see those things kind of get lobbed out seemingly at random, like, I don't even raise an eyebrow. I'm like, for sure, magnifique.
I actually have another like kind of weird question, but I think the most recent episode where Sycamore appeared, and I was looking away from my TV when it was on, so I may be a little off, was when Serena won the princess key. And I think there was like a part where Sycamore goes, whoa, and falls out of his chair. Like, did you actually record that independently? Or was that just like taken as a outtake from another recording?
Oh, you know what? I would bet that it's all organic. I mean, because when there's stuff like that, they're always really great about, you know, when there's anything our characters do, they want us to do it because they truly believe that there are an infinity of reactions and lines and whatever. You know what I mean? So even if there's like an episode where Professor Sycamore says like, but Ash, you know, they're not going to go like, ah, pull a butt and an ash from the ether. You know, they really do believe that the organic nature of it, and you know, it, hopefully, you know, the other actors' voices and things like that. Yeah. So my guess is that we probably did lay down that, you know, that react of of me falling out of the chair.
Do you record all the episodes at a studio, or? And I would assume that that would all be done at like once. Like, oh, we have you lined up for 5 episodes, so. Can you do all 5 within this week or something? Or am I totally wrong on that?
You know, it kind of changes. Like sometimes there will be a whole lot of stuff that needs to get taken care of, you know, like you said, in one kind of fell swoop. And then sometimes there's information that is slower coming through. So you might only do an episode, you know, at a time. It's really dependent on, I guess, what state the information coming into the studio is at, you know, because it isn't necessarily all just delivered and ready to knock out as soon as they can schedule it. Sometimes there's other stuff being dealt with, whether it's mixing or audio or finding out, like, you know, figuring out how many cues each character has. There's a lot of that type of, I guess you'd call it pre-production or, you know, script prep. So sometimes I will take care of several in a row. And then other times you might come in and take care of one because that's what we need at that time.
Okay.
So have you ever done recordings with the other voice actors in presence, or is it always geographically diverse?
I'm trying to think. For Pokemon, I'm not sure if we've had a chance to do much group stuff. Sometimes it's scheduling. Sometimes it's location. Sometimes it's timing. But, you know, the opportunities for other projects where you are able to work with, you know, like multiple talent in one area, obviously it's a totally different dynamic, and most of us love it, you know, that opportunity to really jump on each other's cues and be able to, you know, hear the live read and even sometimes, you know, see the people's faces. It's something that all of us wish, most of us wish you could have every time.
Sure, like more organic conversation, even though it's for an animated presentation.
For sure. You're 100% right.
I think that makes sense, though, where like it's very different than when you're just reading your lines and then you're reading your lines and you're hearing what they're saying and you can kind of tweak or adjust for your next line.
Yeah, you enter a world of hearing your friends say things that then you respond to naturally. And I mean, sometimes you are, again, you're seeing your character do the things. You really do enter the world, and it is great when you can hear the other people say the things. Ideally, it would be awesome if we were all in the same room, but you really, at least I do, like, you kind of zone out, and you can hear, and they are your friends, too, because, I mean, I know all these people, and it's like, I go, oh, you know, that's so-and-so, and they're sitting there talking to you in character, and it's like, now I'm going to respond to them in character, and, you know, you're doing your best to
right.
to gel the world together, and yeah, make it one organic blob of awesome.
So I watch a lot of dubbed anime and stuff, and so I could go down like a long rat hole of that kind of stuff. But one thing I'm curious about, do you actually have video playing when you're recording, or do you kind of just freeform it? And because I imagine everything's drawn and put together before it actually comes around to you doing the English version.
Yeah, I will say on most shows, a lot or all of the animation is already done. For Pokemon, quite a bit of it is, and if they ever need to, there are times where they reanimate, and I don't mean bring it back to life. like, resuscitate that! No, they, Yeah, there are times that they'll reanimate or draw things as necessary. But a lot of times it exists already, so it is dubbing. And that way we do get to see the video, which is, you know, oftentimes super helpful because, you know, if I see that it's like punched in super close on Sycamore and he's saying something that you might not know if it were, you know, something very sincere or something that he's shouting across a hallway, you know, it's super helpful to be able to see the video to help guide you in the reality of the scene.
It, I guess, helps guide your expression.
Or yeah, your for expressing. Sure.
Yeah.
All right. This is a big question I have. So a lot of times Pokemon names are hard to say, especially for me. Yeah. So like, for example, the Rayquaza movie, I always thought Rayquaza was Rayquaza, but everyone in that movie says Rayquaza. So when you're saying different Pokemon's names in the movie, is there somebody there saying like, this is the correct pronunciation to make sure that this is how it's said during the show?
Oh yeah. There's a source or a font, if you will, that we go to anytime there's any question, and it's like a series of phone calls. Ultimately, I mean, this sounds very mysterious, and I guess it's because it kind of is. But anytime there's any kind of question or like anybody needs to double check, which is very uncommon because so everybody, you know, has been living with the show for so long that there's rarely a time where anybody's like, wait a second, is it like Mewtwo or Mewtwo? you know, generally there's no question about it. But anytime there's any kind of, you know, I'm making this up, but another character that I played on a one-off episode was, you know, this is going to be an awful example, so I apologize in advance. But there's a character named Orson, you know, and if anybody had been like, is it Orson or is it Orson? There is a channel that, you know, would be called and found out, and we'd get all that figured out before we lay the stuff down. So there's definitely like a right and a wrong and a fact checking system that happens. It's rare that ever has to go down the line. But like I said, in those off chances, there's always an answer to be had.
Huh, that's really interesting.
There are times too, like I have said a fair amount of Pokemon names, and I know a fair amount of Pokemon, but there's no doubt that there's times like where I have to double check. You'd be like, give me one second, will you give me that one again? because it might be the same thing. You're like, maybe you've read that Pokemon's name 100 times, but you're like, how is that said out loud?
Right. Yeah.
Is there one that you've had the most difficulty with?
That's a great question. I know for a fact there are some that I have stumbled over, but I can't think of any of them right now. Gosh, I might have to come back to that one. I can't think of one right now.
Okay.
All right. So I had another question. Do you do the voice also for the Mega Evolution specials?
Oh, yeah. Well, for Professor Sycamore, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So do you cause those are sort of slightly differently. I feel that they're differently oriented. They're not as targeted towards a younger demographic than the regular cartoon. Do you sort of treat that as a different Sycamore character, or do you kind of feel it's the same Sycamore all across, all, you know, between those two different cartoon series?
Yeah, I agree with you that there is a it's very clearly the same world, but maybe a different tone or a different lens or something. And for me, I definitely think it's the same Sycamore, same value, same character, same voice. And the only difference is, you know, the circumstances that he's put in and the things that he's dealing with. You know, sometimes I think the stakes are always pretty high, you know, in a show like this. The stakes are just different in those. Like, they are somewhat maybe more, adult or complex. But yeah, you know, I think I'm talking in circles a little bit, but it's definitely the same character, just in a slightly different set of circumstances.
Well, you know, I agree. It's complex because the main character is somebody who used to be Sycamore's assistant, and kind of his personal mission in the Mega Evolution specials is not necessarily as benign and pure-hearted as Ash's mission in the world, to go out and just be the best. I think actually Alan is the main character, and he's like, he wants to be the most powerful, which I think is a little different than Ash is wanting to be the very best. So yeah, I can see it's a different tone.
Very much so. And they have a complex relationship. People have asked me about that relationship before. And I think that what I generally say is that I believe that Professor Sycamore always tries to see the best in people, or just does see the best in people. So I think he gives them the benefit of the doubt and trusts that they will do what's right and what's best. So even in a situation where people might be like, you know, he does. Yeah. Like you said, he's not as benevolent or, you know, as, you know, I don't want to say something this broad, but as quote unquote good as Ash. I think Professor Sycamore trusts that, you know, with his guidance and with support and trying to support his actions, that he'll make the right choices. And we will have to see what happens.
Yeah, we still have another one to come. Oh, man. So I had a question. Where do you record out of? What city?
NYC, New York City.
New York, cool.
Yeah.
So all entertainment does not come out of Los Angeles.
a ton of it does, for sure. But yeah, there's quite a bit of fun stuff out here in NYC. The Pokemon Studio is out here, and I know we have folks on the show that you know are not all NYC based, but there's a good contingency of us out here, enough to have little get-togethers and things, and to give each other high fives and things like that.
So if people wanted to find you, you'd be at the Pokemon Center in downtown. Right,
you got it. Again, it's just like Red Genesect. You know, it's like that city in that movie was very similar to New York City. Like the Pokemon Reserve in there looked just like Central Park. There's a lot of people who were like, "This just takes place in NYC."
So, how did you get into a career of voice acting? Because I know, you know, we have a lot of younger, I'm not going to say like really young folks, but, you know, sort of teenagers and young adults who listen to our podcast, and they might be interested in like, how could they also pursue a career in voice acting?
Totally. And this is a big thing I love talking about. Any of the conventions I go to, I always do like an intro to voice acting panel that I invite people to come to, where I talk about a lot of the basics and like how I got in and how maybe to get in and how you can contribute even if it isn't at a big studio. So it's something that I really try and empower people to do. Like I said, even if you aren't on Pokemon, it doesn't mean you can't make a cartoon or work on dubbing and stuff like that. So to answer, to go back to your question, like my route was pretty circuitous, and I feel like a lot of people's are. Very few people are like, I went to voice acting school, submitted a voice acting resume, and got a voice acting job.
Perfect world right there.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Sign me up for that one. I was working on this like comedy, this sketch on camera, sketch comedy thing a number of years ago, I don't even know, probably like 5 years ago maybe. And it was like, I was an actor on it. And one of the producers that was on this, it was about sports. It was like a comedy sports show or something. And one of the producers on set, like we were just chatting. We weren't talking like biz or anything. We're just chatting about life probably. But she happened to like keep my resume or look at my resume and ask me something. She's like, "Oh, you do voiceover?" And I did an independent cartoon, a very small independent cartoon, and I'd done like a couple commercial spots, like very small things. Anyway, so cut to 3 months, maybe 6 months later, I don't even know, it could have been more than that, but I get a random email where she reaches out to me, and she's like, "We work together on this, you do voiceover, right?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she's like, "I just started working at an animation studio, and we're looking for some new people, would you like to come in?" And I was like, "Absolutely." So I did, we scheduled an appointment, and, I went into that. I'm not going to say, I don't go into anything with like arrogance just because, that's just not my speed. But I did go in there being like, I think I know what this will be like. Like there'll be a microphone, you know, like yeah. I thought I was going to have an idea of what was going to happen, and I did not. I was very wrong. I got in there and the director kind of looked me up and down and like asked me about some stuff. He's like, "You ever done this? like, when I show you this, what do you think this is? And like, I was looking at a script of like, you know, cue lines, and I'm like, part of a script? And so we kind of did it. They like worked me through a couple things. They were like, okay. And they just said something simple like, this is the main character of this type of cartoon. Do that character's voice. And I was like, oh, okay. I had to just make up a voice on the spot for this character that I'd never seen before. And so I did it, and it might have been awful, and it might have crashed and burned. But they were like, okay, that wasn't awful. and they kind of gave me a little bit of coaching. We met for maybe like an hour. And when I left, the director was like, he's like, all right, you know, thanks for coming in. You know, if we need you for anything, you know, we'll reach out to you. And I, you know, as anybody probably in this situation was like, who, I don't know if I'm ever going to hear from those people ever again.
Yeah.
And I think like a week later or something, they reached out to me to come in and kind of do some background stuff, do some very, very small, like additional lines, and like a character who was on a show that legitimately said like four lines, like, count me in, and like, let's go, guys. and they, you know, so we were in the studio for like an hour working on probably those 4 to 6 cues. And honestly, that was the start of it. I know I kind of been rambling for a little bit, but that was really where the whole thing started. And slowly but surely, I kept working on it and like gobbled up every opportunity that I could and tried to, you know, like really, really, you know, do as much as I could and grow as much as I could, as fast as I could. And opportunities slowly provided themselves to me. And I'm incredibly, incredibly grateful because, you know, it's not always that you get that kind of opportunity even.
Yeah. It sounds like it was like a test of your, not only your ability to kind of have technical skills of pronunciation and ability to work with a mic, but also your ability to take direction from that actual director, right, that would bring you in. Did you go to school for drama, or did you go to school for like particle physics, or did you just skip college?
I'm not going to lie. In retrospect, I wish I'd gone for particle physics. At least, you know, but I did. I went to school for acting. I did. I have a degree in make-believe. that is, that's what I did for 4 years in college.
Was it in New York or?
No, back in Wisconsin. I got my degree at the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. I got my BFA in acting there.
That's really cool. Probably just a couple more questions before we let you go.
Yeah.
Before getting into the Pokemon anime, what was your knowledge of Pokemon? Were you like, oh, I've played it, or like I was really into it, or, you know, I knew of it, but it wasn't my thing?
I was definitely a fan. I don't like, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to go like, I don't want to oversell it, but I definitely owned toys, Pokemon bouncy balls, Pokemon cards. Like I owned that stuff. And, you know, so when the opportunity came up to work with a franchise on a property that like I was already a fan of and had a pretty strong working knowledge of, it was pretty rad, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like this kind of, you know, life circle type thing. It's pretty amazing. yeah.
Cool. Complete 180 here. What other shows that aren't Pokemon that do you do voice acting on?
I was on. I did Yu-Gi-Oh for quite a while, and then my very beloved character kind of passed into the Nether Realms there.
Oh, no.
Hey, it happens. Dueling is dangerous, guys.
They can always come back. They can always come back.
Fingers crossed. But right now, let's see here. I'm working on Pokemon. I'm doing a few kind of, let's see, I'm working on a show. I'm working on a version of Peter Pan right now. That's pretty exciting, working with some cool folks on that. I am also, I'm trying to think of stuff that might be coming out or dropping. We did this show at a studio called Super 4 that's on Netflix. It's definitely targeted for maybe like younger audiences, maybe even like a little bit younger than Pokemon, but that doesn't mean, you know, anyone wouldn't enjoy it. I don't have one of the main roles on there, but I get to play some pretty awesome supporting characters. So I loved working on that. Like I said, it's called Super 4. I play a helper robot with a super cool old wizard voice. He's one of my favorite characters of all time.
sounds really cool.
That's great. Like when I got the green light to do that voice for a little robot, I was like, yes. That was fun. Oh yeah, this show, I did a show, a Robin Hood kind of like reboot that dropped, and I think it's on Redbox or something. Those are the things that are coming out. Are
you doing any live acting?
Yeah, interesting. Great question. I'm trying to think. I do not think I have done any live acting in a little bit of time. One of my friends from LA is spending some time in New York, and he dragged me to a couple like improv jams where you kind of just, like, hop up and do some improv. And I've loved improv my entire life. It's something I've always kind of been a part of, drifting in and out a little bit, but that's been really fun. So he and I have hit up a couple of those. But when it comes to on stage or on camera, it's been a little bit of time since I've done that.
Cool. Well, I only have one more question. I don't know if you have any more questions as well, but my last question would be, as somebody who does voice acting, do you watch or maybe at least look at other animated series, like Steven Universe, My Little Pony, anything other popular
or any of the good anime, Steven
Universe, I feel like is like the most talked about anime on my animated show on my Twitter feed right now. But like, do you look at that and go like, I know those voice actors, or like those voice actors are good, or like, I kind of wish I played that character. I don't know if this question's going.
Yeah, no, 100%. All of the above, I would say. You are right. Like in a lot of cases, so many of those people are my friends or people or colleagues, you know, like when it comes to Attack on Titan or, you know, the DBZ folks, like I have at least had the opportunity to work with those people at conventions and things like that. And like, we always have a great time, and it is very, it's very much like a family. So any opportunity I get to watch the things, cue them up on Netflix, or if somebody has something new that drops, it's hard to, you know, maybe get through a whole season or something like that, but yeah, it's like listening to your friends or supporting your friends. So I'm always trying to at least give it a few clicks and watch, and you know, like have somebody be like, hey, you know, Jessica or Eric, you know, like, hey, great job on this. Yeah, so I try to consume as much as I can. That's what I'd say too. And about some of my own shows as well, you know, like to keep up on every episode of every show you're in can be, you know, I hope that didn't come across as too, you know, like, ooh, but, yeah, it can be hard. You know what I mean? It's so much media, to consume. And I still, sadly, I haven't found a way to not have to eat and sleep, but I'm working on it.
So I have two somewhat related questions. They could be my last questions. The first one would be, if there was any story that you could have made into an animated film or show or something like that, and then you could be a voice actor in it, what story would you want to see?
Oh, wow.
What would you want to be part of?
I've never thought of that. So I'm just going to kind of like shoot from the hip and see if this makes any sense. I would love to see if there was like a cool way to do a animated, like, change all the characters to like maybe monsters or animals or something, do a version of like Othello, and then I could do the voice of whatever character would be Iago, because I love Iago.
Cool. Yeah.
And like, I love those types of characters too, like those complex villains, quote-unquote villains. I don't even want to call them a villain, because anytime I play a villain, I don't think they're villains. I'm like, no, this person thinks they're in the right.
Yes, people with dark motivation, put it that
yeah
way.
Precisely, yeah. And a lot of some of the most famous characters out there, you know, people like characters like Vegeta. You know, Vegeta, a lot of people, obviously his narrative has a lot of arcs to it, but especially in the beginning, people are like, that's a bad guy. And I'm like, nah, that's a guy who just wants to do things his way. So yeah, you know, that'd be a cool thing. So if there are any animators out there who are like, I've got the perfect monster animal mashup Othello, sign me up. I'm in.
So then following from that, so you do Weepinbell. If there was any other Pokemon that you could voice, which one would it be?
That's great. I have to say my favorite Pokemon personally, Jake Pakes, not Professor Sycamore's or, you know, Orson's or anybody else like that. Jake Pakes' favorite Pokemon is still Charizard. So if there was a way to be Charizard, that'd be pretty rad. That's just the first one that jumps to mind. I've got a lot of love for Weepinbell, but obviously there's some there's some major differences between Charizard and Weepinbell.
You can be Charizard Y since Charizard X is already taken. So yeah. There you go. There's an in for you.
For sure. I'm gonna fill out a resume and be like, let's do this.
That's awesome.
But I've got, especially throughout you know, my experience on the show, I've grown to love so many other Pokemon, and Garchomp is quickly rising in the rankings due to the, you know, the Sycamore connection. I have a super cute Garchomp T-shirt that I usually rock, especially if I'm out at any conventions or anything like that. Just to like to represent for you know, Sycamore's guy.
That's cool. Well, I think that's all we got for our listeners. Thank you so much, Jake, for hanging out and hanging out with us and answering those questions.
Yeah, for sure. I know if you guys ever want to hit me up or anything like that, or anyone else ever has any questions, I do my best to like answer, say hey and stuff like that, especially over Twitter where it's just at Jake Pake, at @JakePaque. So anytime there's anything else, feel free to hit me up. And thank you so much for having me on. This was a blast, guys.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to tackle our Pokemon of the week. So stay with us. And we are back. I actually forgot a little bit of news. It's not really news. It's Pokemon Center related. There's a bunch of new items in Pokemon Center. I just wanted to bring those up real quick. Okay. Stand with me. I'm assuming Pokemon Center is doing really good, that they keep releasing new stuff. Either that or they're just trying to advertise anything. They have now big size plushies. And their little banner says "Go big with plushes." They have like a 10-inch large size Lugia, a 16.5-inch Pikachu, which is $42, an 8-inch Charizard, $32, large size Mega Rayquaza, $35. So there are some big plushes for big prices. 21-inch tall Fennekin.
That's big. That's almost as big as a real Fennekin.
Yep, they have a 19.5-inch Chespin. You like Greninja? Well, they got a 10 3/4-inch Greninja, $32.99. And a 13.5-inch Froakie, $42.99. Pokemon Center is here to empty your wallet.
And those Kataris, too.
Yeah, that was the second thing I was going to bring up. I don't know what a Katari is, but it's classified under beanbag.
It's like a Beanie Baby, except a Pokemon, and it's mostly just a big head.
Oh, okay, yes.
I think.
They do have big heads in the picture. I see they got some, and this is weird. So they have Sleeping Vaporeon, and then Vaporeon Awake, and they have Sleeping Pikachu, and then Awake Pikachu. They just got Vaporeon, Eevee, Jolteon, Flareon, Pikachu, and Raichu. Those are your choices here for if you dig beanbag cutie plushes. They are each $10. So
you've got to get the sleeping and the awake one both.
Yeah. Otherwise, how would you not know if they're the Raichu one is actually really sweet. And then finally, they added the substitute line. Whimsicott's substitute. I don't know if that matters, but they have a 5-inch substitute for $12.99, and then they have a large size 12-inch substitute for $32.99. They also have some substitute socks, a substitute tumbler, which is a little plastic glass cup. Also a website for blogging. And they also have a shirt and a keychain if you're into substitute dolls.
That's cool. I like the substitute doll.
Yeah, he's real sweet. You could put him in your chair in class and then not go to class.
Well, except you had to go to class to put the substitute there because he's not going to walk there himself.
You don't know that, Will.
He can't walk on those legs.
That's also true. I still think it's worth it even if you have to go because then you don't have to stay. You can just go back and sleep. Like, sure, it would be perfect if there were some sort of teleportation technology that would allow the substitute doll to
zap it in, zap it out.
Yeah, I think I should probably just stop advocating that students skip class because it's important. I mean,
no,
you're paying
drop out
for
of
it.
It actually is not doing anything for you.
Travis, if you didn't go to school, you possibly wouldn't have learned what a cold open was.
Honestly, I would have. I think I knew what a cold open was when I was in high school.
All right, that's fair.
Yeah, because I watched Lost. No, I didn't get into X-Files until college.
There you go. There's a good reason to stay in college.
I probably would have watched X-Files without college. I mean, getting a degree is cool.
Speaking of X-Files, I don't want to get off topic, but you would probably...
You're also, let the record show that Steve is asking me to talk about X-Files.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
I cannot be blamed for what's about to happen.
We had such a good interview just now that we have to mediocre up the show here. Okay, so I'm not a fan of X-Files, mostly because whatever, I haven't gotten into it. But to be fair, I haven't given it a real chance. But what reminds me of X-Files, which reminds me of you, which I'm recommending to you and our listeners, is there is a podcast. Well, not that I need to recommend it because
of podcast. Are you going to talk about Limetown? Because I have some opinions about Limetown.
I can talk about Limetown, but both of these podcasts are way more popular than Pokemon podcasts. So it's not like I'm doing like advertising or anything for them. There's a podcast called Lore.
Oh, I love Lore. Lore's
okay,
great.
You do? Okay, yeah. Cool. That podcast is fantastic.
Yeah.
And if there's anything I want to do in life, it is just read something that is really cool and then have people listen to it.
Yeah.
Well, I think he both writes and reads them.
Yeah. He does. Well, he's a writer, so that really helps that he can write the stories and then read them in a, not like an audiobook form. It is more of like a podcast. Like, I can't think of another podcast where one person is just talking.
The Memory Palace, 99% Invisible.
Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of them.
There are a lot of them, but they're very hard to pull off. But when they are pulled off, they're pulled off really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you like, it's
kind of
like
pulling off, please keep it on.
What would you say Lore would be like, more like, not like ghost stories, but.
Yeah, it's like the history behind folk tales, behind like spooky folk tales.
Yeah. And each podcast is about 20 minutes long.
It's a fantastic show.
It's really, really good. Let's talk about Limetown real quick. Do you like it or not?
Mostly no. Okay. I talked about Lost a bit ago. That show really burned me out on shows whose primary hook for you is mystery and intrigue. I realize we were only two episodes in, but all of Limetown so far has just been just providing you one mysterious image after another without giving me other types of content that I would enjoy, like really working on its characters or giving me like compelling scenes that are compelling divorced of their being an enigma. I tweeted this and then the official Limetown account was like, dog, we only released two episodes. Just keep listening. So I realize that. I realize that I'm making a judgment.
I think they're supposed to have 8 total.
Yeah. Did they literally refer to you as dog?
No.
All right.
Travis,
they
saw,
what did they say? They
said, angry.
They said something that was strange, though. It was like,
yo, homie.
It was like,
we're only 2 episodes in.
I mean, we are only 2 episodes in. I realize I shouldn't. They are. It is a text. You know, it was a tweet, so I can't assume that was the inflection with which they tweeted it. But I thought it was funny that they would bother me, or that I wasn't even tagging them. Right? They were just searching Limetown and responding to people.
So Limetown's kind of like Serial, except Serial is based on a real story, and Limetown is made up. I think I like Limetown. I like it enough that I'm actually excited for episode 3, but that's kind of like where it could fall apart, where I'm like, okay, it's not worth it. But it is kind of like, well, it's only like 20 minutes long. It's not like a huge commitment. That's kind of what made Serial so good. It was like, well, I'm not dedicating an hour to an episode. I'm only dedicating 20 minutes. But yeah, I was like, oh, this is probably only popular because Serial was so popular. But it, actually, interesting enough, Limetown was created over 3 years ago. It just took them that long to form the story and get the episodes out. Which then again also worries me. It's like, well, if it took you 3 years to do 2 episodes, are you sure you got the other 7 done?
Yeah, I am.
Anyways, that's a little bit of podcast talk. Pokemon of the week, we have Garchomp. Garchomp. Not everyone sound excited.
He's a dragon and a ground.
He is a dragon.
He is a dragon and he is a ground.
he is the ground. He or she. 50% female, 50% male.
It starts out as a cute little Gibble.
I love Gibble.
Then Gibble's it becomes a Gabite. That's
awkward teenage years as a Gabite.
And then it becomes a Garchomp.
It's a good naming scheme.
And even though it looks like an airplane, it's a ground type, which is very confusing.
It's considered the mock Pokemon.
It's a land shark. You know, those things that exist. Land sharks.
Over 200 accounts of land sharks appear every year. Only you can prevent land shark attacks. What do we got here for Garchomp? Garchomp can fly at an incredible speed, helped by the fine scales on its body that reduce drag to catch its prey. Garchomp are cave dwellers and are seldom seen in the wild. I, too, have yet to not see a Garchomp.
You don't have Garchomps around Milwaukee?
No Garchomps here. No Hoyt theaters either. They might go hand in hand. Travis has a moveset for Garchomp. Garchomp's base stats here are 600, with the highest being attack in 130. Pretty good HP at 108. Speed 102. Its lowest is special attack at 80. What do you got for us, Travis?
Well, wait, can I just interject and say, for everybody always bragging about its flying ability, it only learns one flying type move. How sad is that? It can't even learn fly.
It can't learn fly.
No, only Aerial Ace. Is Aerial Ace on your list of moves for it, Travis?
No. So this is a pedestrian Garchomp. This is a grounded Garchomp.
Yeah, but also people don't typically Mega Evolve Garchomp. They'll have it on their team, but they typically don't bother to Mega Evolve it.
Why is that? What's the DL on that?
I was gonna go into. But
yeah, there you go. No, I don't know. Tell me, Travis.
So the main reason is because you get a cut in speed when you Mega Evolve. And with a Pokemon like Garchomp, so Mega Garchomp would be great because it has that 170 attack, which would make it great for just cutting through the enemy team, because that's a very, very high stat. But unfortunately, with that cut and speed, you're not going to outspeed anything. And you can't even put a Choice Scarf on it because it's Mega Evolved. So you're better off, if you were to do that, doing a more tankier moveset. But then you find out, oh, just normal Garchomp is better at that anyway, because you can put a tanky item on it which you can't do as Mega Garchomp. So it's the combination of the cut in speed and the loss of item. And so I thought I would go through the... I'm just taking this moveset straight from Smogon because I just assume they know Garchomp better than I do. It's one of the most popular Pokemon. So they recommend Stealth Rock, Earthquake, Dragon Tail, and Fire Blast. It's interesting that their first recommendation in their list of movesets is the tankier one for this generation, which is different than the niche that Garchomp fit in previous generations where he acted as a sweeper, often on Sandstorm teams to activate Sandveil. Although here in this tank variety, they recommend the opposite ability, Rough Skin, with a Rocky Helmet, meaning if anyone makes performs a move that makes contact, so that's most physical moves and some special, they'll take 30% damage, which will really nick away at them that you might be able to finish them off with an Earthquake or a Fire Blast. The recommended EV spread is 240 to HP, 176 to defense, and 92 to speed with an impish nature. But like I said, it's interesting that people are finding this generation's metagame to be more suited to the tankier Garchomp with more defenses, more health than the fast sweeper Garchomps we've seen in previous generations. I can't give you all the answers as to why that is. I'm sure part of it has to do with wanting to survive Talonflame things and still survive. I don't know. Well, actually, no, that wouldn't really affect it. So I don't know what the exact reasoning is. There's always so many variables when a new generation is coming in, but it looks like people are favoring the tankier ones this generation, which is an interesting tidbit.
There you go. Mega Garchomp has the highest base stat total of base attack of all non-legendary ground Pokemon. Mega Garchomp also has the highest HP and attack stats of all non-legendary dragon Pokemon. And
just for accuracy's sake, I believe that Rough Skin plus Rocky Helmet is about 23%
of thank you.
The HP, not 30%.
Thank you.
And for all your the PokePark lovers out there, Garchomp was in PokePark Wii Pikachu's Adventure and its sequel, but it had no notch on its fin, but he is referred to as male. I believe the notch means they're female?
Must be.
I didn't know it was a Pokemon that had male and female differences.
The Bulbapedia does show male and female differences here, and I'm looking at them and I can't tell what it
is. Look at a notch on the tail.
Is which where
I don't know, I'm not looking at the same
yeah, I mean they're side by side. I can't look fast enough to tell what the differences are. Appearance wise, Garchomp seems to be based off the European dragon, various species of sharks including the hammerhead and possibly the dromaeosaurid or theropod dinosaur. Its design also strongly resembles a jet aircraft. There you go.
True.
And if you get a shiny,
in turn, jet aircrafts resemble like sharks, right? Isn't that or like what did we model our planes after? It's like after some sort of
birds.
Hydrodynamic. Well, no, because our planes don't flap.
That's true.
They're after like things with long fins. Right? Isn't that true? Yeah, those. Exactly.
Huntails.
Our planes are designed... Imagine a world where our planes were designed after Huntails.
Imagine a world.
Consider, if you will, a world. The Twilight Zone.
Shiny Garchomp is pink and purple.
Nice.
Pretty cool.
It's a cool shiny.
And yeah. That's all we got for Garchomp. Very popular Pokemon still, believe it or not. He is not butter.
I can see why people like Garchomp. Certainly not in my favorites, but not only is it a stellar Pokemon competitively, it's also hits that that place where it kids love it because it's so cool. It has it's a dragon with spikes on it. But then it also, I don't know, as an adult, I still sort of like its design.
Yeah, that was very cool. Well, I think that's our show for you guys today. Hopefully you enjoyed it. A little bit different show than the last couple episodes here. Haven't had an interview since, I think, 150, which was Joe from Serebii. So that's cool. If you like Pokemon Podcast and you want to support Pokemon Podcast, you can do so by heading over to our Patreon. If you don't know what Patreon is, it's a like a donation, charity, support, not Kickstarter, but kind of like Kickstarter service. Did a real bad explanation there. But pretty much you can go over to Patreon and you can give us a dollar a month. That's $12 a year if you do the math. And if you do so, you get access to our Slack community, which almost has 100 people. And it's great for chit-chatting with other trainers and talking about breeding, trading, battling, completing a Pokedex. There's all that going on. There's some off-topic stuff, too, as well. But very cool and active community. We've been doing buzzwords of the day the last past week, which has been great. And so, yeah, if you like Pokemon Podcast and you want to support us, that is a very easy way to do so. If you don't want to give us money and still want to support the show, there's an easy way to do that. You can head over to iTunes and leave us a review. We're trying to get to 500 reviews by the end of the year. I think we are only like 28 away from doing that. So if 28 of you go over to iTunes and leave us a review, that would let us hit our goal, which will be very awesome. And on top of that, if you didn't know, leaving a review in iTunes helps us go up in iTunes, which helps more people find the show. And that is just very helpful.
And then the cycle continues.
And then we get more reviews, and we go further up, and more reviews, and further up, and then we're at the top.
We're just a parasitic positive feedback loop. Yeah, we need your reviews. Feed us.
Real sponsor.
Yeah, then we can get a real sponsor.
We've
like
real sponsors.
Gillies.
Gillies or
this episode of the Pokemon Podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace, build it beautiful.
Squarespace did sponsor us at one point.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I
forgot about
did.
That.
Yeah.
I mean, no, Squarespace is still great.
No, Squarespace is great. Yeah, yeah.
You got to get a sponsor like PokemonCenter.com.
Yeah,
that's not going to happen.
For all your stuffed plush needs, come
we'll
to PokemonCenter.com.
Travis, where can they find you?
Twitter.com/TheTravisW, keeping it simple today.
Awesome.
Keeping it simple today is not part of my username. It's just TheTravisW.
Will, where can our listeners find your voice?
Well, let me say it this way, because I've been really annoyed by everybody. You know, I'm happy everybody rushed out and bought PS4s to get the Taken King so they can play Destiny with us. Several people have done that, and I appreciate that. But I have literally ended every program for pretty much the past year by giving my PSN ID. So if you have to ask me what my PSN ID is, it makes me think that you actually don't listen to this program, and that disappoints me.
They could be cutting it off early. Like, once I start the Patreon spiel, that could be like, all right, it's off.
It's gold at
the end. About X-Files again. Time to turn it off.
Oh,
well, this is where the real comedy happens.
My PSN is washing the sink. Just add me. It doesn't cost you any money to add me. And then I'm like, oh, that dude's playing Destiny. Let me hop in there.
Trying to get to 500 friends by the end of the year.
500 PSN friends?
No, you can only have 200, I think.
Ugh. And you can find me on most Saturdays, probably not this coming Saturday because I'll be on vacation, for Crucible Saturday on Twitch. and you can get the link to that from my Twitter, which is Washing the Sink as well.
Full circle. If you want, you can follow me on Twitter. It is at Dragging a Lake. You can follow the podcast on Twitter, at Pokemon Podcast. It is the best way to stay up to date in case we don't have an episode, or we are late on an episode, or we're early on an episode, which rarely ever happens. But it'd be probably the best place to find out. At Pokemon Podcast on Twitter. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/PKMNcast. And we are on SoundCloud and Stitcher Radio and iTunes, and somehow you know that because you're listening to the show right now, but now it is over.
Oh, I can't eat pizza.
This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast. And we are
Super Sycamores.
Good night, everyone.
Botanus Orientalis.